Good morning to you. Nice to see you here today. We've got a nice crowd joining us on this beautiful, beautiful Sunday morning. You know, as I said earlier, I'm the walking billboard for Vacation Bible School today, Shipwrecked. So if you want to be a part of that wonderful time, that 2 weeks coming up in June, you can visit the table back there and find out the ways that you can help. You know, give me just a moment here as we begin, before I begin the message, just to say thank you. The time last week in celebrating, you know, our ministry together for 25 years, it was a good time. We really enjoyed that. It was wonderful. You know, that cake that was made there that Jenna made for the 25, they actually cut that third service, and I went over to get a piece of that cake, and it was gone. All of it was gone already, so they said it was really good, and the cupcakes, and, you know, just the thought of making them orange, you know, and putting the tea. Somebody actually asked me last week, they said, "What's all the orange about?" I don't know. Ask somebody. They'll tell you, I guess. But that was really good, and you know, having Arlene up here with me sharing a little bit, that was wonderful. And the trip was fantastic. That'll take place in July, so thank you so much for all of that. All right, we're starting a brand new study today, and it's entitled In the Word. We're going to go about 13 weeks, I think, in this study. And let me start it to you this way. Have you ever been in church from way back when you were young, right up to today? Have you ever been in church? Has anybody ever said anything that was confusing to you? Raise your hand. Let me see your hand. Oh my goodness, about everybody here. How many of you that most of that has happened in the last 25 years? Raise your hand. Okay, all right. Now what are you saying now, right? But I remember as a young person, and even times now, when you go into a church and something is said and you just don't understand it. You know, matter of fact, I actually had somebody a couple years ago here at First Church come over and talk to me after the service. And I said, "Do you have any questions that you have?" And this gentleman said, "I just have one question." He said, what is VBS? Right? I mean, we had all these announcements, you know, VBS coming up, and here was a person that really wasn't used to being in church, and we were talking about VBS, and it might as well have been the FBI. He just didn't know. Right? There's a lot of things that we talk about in church that's difficult to understand. I remember, you know, when I was a kid, I was just so enamored by communion. And there was so much about communion that I just didn't understand. Matter of fact, not very long ago, somebody actually told me, they were here in worship with us, and he said to me, he said, "Thank you so much for that slide that was up in the front of the church during communion." You know the one I'm talking about? Tells you what it's about, you know, how to partake, how if you're uncomfortable, you know, don't partake. He said, "Thank you so much." He said, "Because I was really confused about what was going on within that kind of explained it." You ever been confused in church? That's what we're going to talk about over the next number of weeks. In a word, we're going to talk about things that we're going to use words, and we're going to define it, and we're going to describe it, and we're going to talk about what we need to know about it as we live our life as believers today. And we want to invite people on this journey with us. I actually toyed with the idea of calling it churchy words. You know, because we're going to have one word each week where we're going to talk about what it means. And today's word, let's just jump right in. Today's word is grace. You see, I think grace is one of those things that we talk about that we really don't quite understand it the way that we should. Matter of fact, you know, I'm having class 101 today where we invite, you know, new people to come, and we talk about lots of different things. But one of the things we talk about in there is grace. And I always ask them, you know, what is grace? And it's amazing how many different answers you get. what people say about grace. It's such an important thing, but I don't think as believers that we understand as much as we should. As a matter of fact, if you look it up, most of the time in Christian circles, grace is defined kind of like this, that it's the free and unmerited favor of God as manifested in the salvation of sinners and the bestowal of blessings. Anybody confused? You know, sometimes we talk about certain things in church and it's kind of a churchy word, and maybe we understand it, maybe we get it, or maybe we don't. I think grace is one of those things. I think grace is not only a word, but it's a concept that people think that they know everything about or as much as they need to know about it, but yet in reality, we know very little. And there's so much more that we can learn. Everybody needs grace. Matter of fact, I was talking to my grandson yesterday, Jack, on my cell phone, FaceTime, and we were going back and forth. He was eating at the table, and the phone was propped up against a book there for him. And we were talking, and he had a T-shirt on too. It said CAK. He goes to the Christian Academy of Knoxville. That's his school where he goes to preschool. And it said CAK. And I said, Jack, you know what CAK stands for? And he said, what? I said, cute at Knoxville. And he was like, ha, he just laughed. He just had such a good time with that. And then right in the middle of this, he reached over and he picked up a can of Pringles on the table. He took the top off. He took one chip out. And then for whatever reason, he took the rest of the can and he just dumped it all over the table as he was just laughing, okay? And as the chips just fell out and broke, you know, his mother was like, she was like incredulous. She didn't know, you know, what to do. And she was kind of scolding him. And, you know, as a grandparent, I had to turn the phone away because I was laughing. But you know what? We're all in need of grace because we all do things like that. We all do things that are just so silly, so disobedient, and so against what our Heavenly Father and how our Heavenly Father wants us to live. We all need unmerited favor from God. Now, I found another definition of grace, and I like it even better. Just simply that grace is everything for nothing to those who don't deserve anything. Isn't that awesome? Grace is everything for nothing to those who don't deserve anything. That's us. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. To understand grace, you have to understand the love of God. The Bible says that God is love. And out of that love, God showed us grace. But how much of that do you understand? See, so many times today, people think of grace in other ways. You know, say, oh, that person's full of grace. You know, they're graceful. Look at the way they move across the room. We use the term grace that way. Or we think about a grace period where you know we owe somebody some money and they say, you know what, I want you to pay it back on this particular day, but I'll give you 3 days, 4 days, I'll give you a week of what? Of grace. You know, where we will not be held responsible for that debt in that period of time. Most of the time when people talk about grace, they talk about just a short prayer that they say at the dinner table. God is great. God is good. Let us thank Him for this food. By His hands we are fed. You remember that one, don't you? I remember the one that I forget who it was. I think it was a uncle or somebody that taught me this one. Good grace, good meat, good gosh, let's eat. I like that one. You know, you understand that everything that you have really comes from the grace of God. Grace is everything for nothing to those who don't deserve anything. I love Acts 15, verse 11. It says there that we believe that we're all saved the same way by the undeserved grace of the Lord Jesus. Now think about this for a moment, because you know what was going on in Acts 15, right? Acts 15 was the Jerusalem Council. It was when the Jewish people got together, and all of a sudden God's grace and mercy and salvation was coming to others, coming to Gentiles. And the question was whether or not those Gentiles needed to be circumcised before they could become a part of the church. And in that conversation between all these different people and leaders, we read this word that we believe that we are all saved by the same way, by the undeserved grace of the Lord Jesus. You see, God's grace is for everybody. God's grace is what He wants every person to experience and to know. Here's the thing, folks. There's a couple of crucial thoughts that we need to get right in our mind and our heart if we're really going to understand what grace is. First of all, we need to understand and accept God's grace. We need to find an understanding and accepting God's grace, knowing what it is. I mean, do you? You know, one of the biggest things that people talk about when they talk about God's grace is that will God really forgive me of this or of that? And sometimes, a lot of times, people won't articulate it, they won't say it, but they feel very strongly in their mind that God could never forgive me. If God is a just God, then He would never forgive me of this particular sin. You know, a lot of times people will say, and I've had lots of people say this to me over the years, you know, what have I done? You know, they have some calamity in their life, in their heart, with their family, and right away they start thinking, what have I done that's caused God to bring this upon me? You see, people have such a hard time with God's unconditional love. And it's out of God's unconditional love that grace can ever be understood. You know, Jesus is hanging on the cross and He's looking down at the very ones that put Him there. And what does He say? He says, Father, forgive them. They don't even know what they're doing. Isn't that amazing? That God's unconditional love could be extended, you know, that far. You know, the Bible is so clear that we must understand and that we must accept God's grace. You see, because this grace of God, it's both a vertical relationship with God, but then it's also a horizontal relationship with others. And that's where the second thing comes in, and that's applying God's grace in your life. You need to understand God's grace and accept God's grace, and then you have to allow God to help you apply that same grace that God has given you to others. Jesus tells a marvelous story about a man that walks into his master's house, and he owes his master a great debt, and he can't pay it. And his master forgives that debt and sends him away forgiven, totally free. And then right away he runs into another man that owes him a small debt, and he does not extend the grace of the master that was given to him to the people around him. And here's the thing, folks. I don't think if we don't extend it to others, we really don't understand it from God. Because when we understand the depth and the width and the height of the love of God, what God has gone to in order to show us that love, if we're not connected with that, and if we don't understand it, if we've not accepted it, then it's very difficult to share that grace with other people. But yet Jesus made it very clear that the forgiveness, grace is a lot of it is forgiveness, that the forgiveness that we offer to others is the same way, it's the same measure that God is going to use with us. So here's the point, folks. Have you done this? Do you understand this? I mean, do you realize what all of this is about in life? I mean, the forgiveness that God has given us, it is a beautiful, beautiful thing. Let me tell you a little story that will help you with this. Several years ago, Arlene and I were on vacation, and we were on a little island in the Caribbean called St. Kitts. You ever heard of it? A little island in the Caribbean called St. Kitts. It's one of the places that a lot of slaves were brought to from Africa years ago. And then people would come there and purchase these slaves and bring them to America and other places. And we were taking a little tour around this small island, and as we were driving, I noticed this really old, old, dilapidated church. And out in front of this church, there was one of those historical markers. And I don't know if you're like me, when I'm driving, if I see one of those historical markers, I stop. I want to read it. I'm just curious that way. And I saw this marker, and I said to the person that was driving us, I said, "Hey, stop for a minute. I'd like to look at this church." And I got out and I walked over to this historical marker, and this is what it said. It talked about a man named John Newton. And it talked about how he was the captain of a slave ship. And how over the years he would come to that little island of St. Kitts and other islands around there, and he would purchase slaves to take them back to be sold in America and other places. And if you read the history of that, it was brutal. They would put these slaves on these ships, and they would just barely keep them alive, and they would take them to be sold as slaves in other countries. And when they would get close to the port that they were going to, the ones that had died, they would just throw them overboard and then sell the ones that had survived. And this little historical plaque said that John Newton had come to this island and taken slaves, but he said that he also, right off the shores of the island of St. Kitts, was where he encountered the grace of God. And it mentioned that he had given his testimony or preached at this little church. Now, I remember John Newton. Do you know who I'm talking about? He wrote these words. Remember this beautiful song? He wrote these words. He wrote these words after he had experienced the grace of God, the forgiveness of God, the mercy of God, after he had trafficked, you know, thousands and thousands of slaves and killed who knows how many along the way. And then he found the Lord, and he wrote these beautiful words that amazing grace was a beautiful sound, and that he was the wretch that God's grace was able to save, that he was once lost, but now he's found. He was blind, but now he can see. That is the power of grace. My prayer is that grace is more than just a word for you or to you, but that grace is something that touches you down to the very depths of your soul. And that grace is something that you can realize, that you can understand, that you can accept, and that it's not just a word, it's not just a concept, but it's the very love of God embodied in your mind and in your heart. Because you see, there's some amazing scriptures that I want to share with you while you're thinking about this song. It's Hebrews chapter 4, and another one is in James chapter 4, and then in 1 Corinthians. Hebrews chapter 4 is a very interesting passage because it says about grace that we need to come boldly. Verse 16, we need to come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive His mercy, and we will find grace to help us as we need it most. Now think about this. Hebrews 4 tells us that we need to boldly come and receive grace. James 4 tells us something very different. In verse 6, it says, "And he gives grace generously, as the scriptures say, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble." Think about this. He's saying that we need to come, and to understand grace, we need to come boldly because we know what it is, and we know we have it. You see, that's the vertical part. But then the horizontal part is we have to be humble. Because God has saved us. And because God has given us His holy word that teaches us the beautiful meaning of this word, grace. So we come boldly, but we also serve humbly. But then 1 Corinthians chapter 15 is a really interesting passage of Scripture, because if you remember, 1 Corinthians 15 is about what? It's about the resurrection. Paul is talking about the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and he says, verse 1, "Let me now remind you, dear brothers and sisters, of the good news I preached to you before. You welcomed it then, and you still stand firm in it. It is this good news that saves you if you continue to believe the message I told you, unless, of course, you believed something that was never true in the first place." You see, he's describing the situation of experiencing God, but then maybe not getting it, maybe not understanding it, maybe not comprehending it. But then look at what he says down in verse number 10. He says, "But whatever I am now, it is all because God poured out His special favor on me, and not without results. For I've worked harder than any other of the apostles, yet it was not I, but God who was working through me by His grace. So it makes no difference whether I preach or they preach, for we all preach the same message you have already believed. It is by His grace," Paul says, "that He's able to do these things." And you know what? It's by His grace that we can understand this relationship that we have with Him and share in this relationship that we have with each other with grace defining it all. So here's the thing, folks. When you think about this beautiful song of amazing grace, and when you understand the life behind it, John knew, and what he experienced in Christ Jesus, his Lord, I think it just emphasizes and shows what we really need to know about God's amazing grace. Do you understand it? Is it more than a word? Is it more than a fuzzy concept that you've heard your entire life in church? I hope that it's something that it literally has changed your life and gives you hope for every day that lies ahead. You know, here's what I want to do. Let's just lift our voices up to the Lord right now. And let's just sing this first verse that speaks about this beautiful concept in Him. Who can get us started on key? Let's do it. Amazing grace. Dear Father in heaven, we pray, Lord, that today this word will be more than a word in this church. That God, when we speak of grace, we know of that which we speak. And we know, Lord, that it's all bound up in the unconditional love of our Heavenly Father. It's why He made us. It's why Jesus came back to redeem us. And it's what sustains us today. That, Lord, there's nothing that we could do that would make God love us less. And that, Father, Your kingdom of grace and mercy is available to all. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to be here today to experience that grace. And if there's those here, Lord, that maybe for the very first time, if they're being touched in their spirit by your grace and forgiveness and mercy, Father, may they reach out and take hold of that and confess their sins to you and declare their faith in you and submit to your will for their life, Lord. And may they come and be baptized into you and just enter this beautiful relationship of grace. Lord, may we understand it, may we accept it, and may we share it with others freely, Lord, without limit, as you did with us. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.